Wow, that was great. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing that with us and blessing our moms in that way. If you've been here in recent weeks, you know we began a series on theology, going through basic theologies of the Bible. Today, I'm just taking a slight detour, because it is Mother's Day, and I want to share something with you moms that I hope and I pray that it will encourage and bless you, and in so doing, all of us, of course. It's not just only moms that are blessed from looking into the Word of God and what God has to say about us in our lives. So I'm looking forward to that. Before I actually get going farther, every once in a while, I start speaking, and a little text pops up on my screen saying, "What are you doing?" I'm like, okay. So before I get going any farther, it is time for a reading this morning, our worshiping our Creator reading. So, Brother Logan, you got to be more noisy and wave your hands at me or something. Come on up. Thank you, brother. Here's a microphone. See if this one works. This one on, John? No. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
There we go. It's on.
Good morning, IBC. Happy Mother's Day. That bird is the chickadee. The chickadees are a group of North American birds in the tit family. Species found in North America are referred to as chickadees, while other species are called tits. The question is, why don't the chickadees' feet freeze when it is minus 36 degrees Celsius? How can ducks spend the whole day in icy water and not get frostbite? It seems that birds are never bothered by cold feet. If we were to run outside in the winter with bare feet, we would have frostbitten toes. So why don't birds need socks? God has designed birds' feet with a unique heating system. Birds have a network of arteries down to their feet. Interwoven with these arteries are the returning veins. This network is called a wonder net. The bird's hot arterial blood interwines with its cold returning vein blood. As a result, the bird's feet have a constant pool of warm blood, keeping them from becoming dangerously cold. And the blood returning to the main part of the body is preheated. If evolution is true, how many feet had to freeze off before the bird got it right? God, in his wisdom, designed the bird to survive cold winters. So the next time you see a chickadee at your winter bird feeder, be amazed how God solved the problem of cold feet for the chickadee. In Romans 10:15, we read, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Logan. I've often thought that, wondered about that myself. These skinny bird feet, bare feet, and yet it can be out in the cold and cold water and anyway, God is amazing. Amen? Oh, ladies, I do want to bless you and share with you the word today. And the title of the message is simply, "When You're Overwhelmed." And because as I think about moms, I do think about many times that their life is so hectic, so busy, there's so much responsibility, there's so many things on their plate that I can understand how a mom can feel very overwhelmed. Let me share with you this example of a mom and see if any of you maybe can relate to this mom. The kids have been in bed for an hour, and my husband is asleep on the couch next to me. I shut down the laptop, turn off the television, and pick up the scattered odd dish around the living room. I'm aware that if I do not, they will still be there in the morning. I pass by the dog dishes to see the child responsible for feeding the dog did not refill the water bowl, so I stop to fill it. I start to climb the stairs, picking up a lost sock, a forgotten toy, a dirty towel along the way. Once upstairs, I head to the kitchen to see some cold dinner still left on the stove. I place it in the fridge only to find there's no room with all the uneaten leftovers taking up space that no one else seems to throw out. I pick up a few dirty tissues, forgotten school papers. Then I trip over a pair of shoes left in the middle of the floor. Then I turn off all the lights left on after everyone else went to bed. And then the bitterness starts to creep in. Once in my bedroom, I find all the items on my sink that one or more of children used without asking me or putting them away. I get undressed, wash my face, and think the only thing I want to do is climb into bed with my book to escape. Moments later, my husband joins me in the room, moving his sleepy body from the sofa to the bed. He looks at me, hears my curt good night, and then asks if I'm mad at him. No, I reply. He pauses, trying to decide if more should be said in his own frustration and fatigue. I'm left alone with my thoughts finally, and I realize a few things. He is good, a good, true partner in this family, sharing much of the household load with me. And the truth is, those kids in their beds asleep, they're pretty good kids. They help out. They often try their best. I think of them all the time, and I can't wait to hear about their days when they come home. But beneath these truths I know in my head, at times resentment bubbles to the surface, and I feel frustration and overwhelmed by the responsibility. Do you ever relate to that? If so, this message is going to be for you. This message this morning, we're going to take a look at one of the most well-known mothers in the Bible and take a look at how she responds when really overwhelmed and what we can learn from her. Maybe the words of Isaiah resonate with you. Isaiah 38, verse 14 says, "O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me." And that word that is used for oppressed, it means to be overwhelmed, to be in anguish. Lord, I am overwhelmed in my life. I need your help. A lot of things overwhelm us. Grief can overwhelm us. Guilt can overwhelm us. Grudges, worry, responsibilities. And you can fill in some other things, I am sure. All these things can work to overwhelm us and to make us feel like we're just going under and can barely keep going. But today we're looking at what to do when feeling overwhelmed. And since it's Mother's Day, we're starting off with one of the most famous mothers. And who would that be, do you think? Anybody? Any guesses? A famous mother in the Bible? Okay, let's go with Mary. Luke chapter number 1, verse 26. Follow along as I read to verse 30. Luke chapter 1. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Let's stop here for now, and let's ask the Lord to guide the rest of our time together in the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word to us. Your Word is life. Your Word, Father, is a love letter written to us from you. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts to it. And especially I pray that you would speak to the ladies, our moms that are here represented with us today. Lord, that you would encourage them and lift them up. And even in times of feeling overwhelmed at times with things around us, with life, I pray that we would listen to what your word has to say to us and take these steps and do these things that are written in it. Lord, that we can overcome the feeling of being overwhelmed as we look to you, our Lord, our God, our Savior. And Father, if there's anybody here unsure of their own salvation, their own relationship with you, their God and Creator, would you speak to their heart? Draw them to Jesus this morning, I pray. Help them to see how much he loves them and the life that he has for them if they would just trust him. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Okay, Mary, she gets the visit from the angel. This is the typical Christmas time message. But she gets the visit from the angel. At this time, many suspect she was a young lady, never been married. And by young lady at this time, we're talking perhaps even 13, 14 years old, which was not an uncommon age of marriage. And at this time, most marriages would be arranged by the families. And so she was told, though, at this time, before she actually got married to Joseph, she was told that she was going to be pregnant and that this pregnancy, this child, this baby is from God. You want to talk about perhaps potentially feeling overwhelmed? How would you react? I can imagine Mary wondering, how in the world would she explain this to anybody? She has to face Joseph. How is she going to explain this and tell Joseph this? Her own parents, her community, and it was a fairly small community, and they didn't take this kind of news very well. It was going to be difficult. She was confused, perhaps somewhat disturbed. Maybe she felt this overwhelming sensation. She was overwhelmed. She feared criticism, perhaps adequacy to be a mom. She feared just change. This was not the plan she had. This was not her and Joseph's plan that they were making together. Things had changed. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? So Mary was told by the angel, "Mary, you're going to be blessed." She was overwhelmed, but yet the angel says, "Mary, there's a blessing coming." And here's a basic principle, by the way, is usually when you feel overwhelmed, it's right before God does a blessing. God gives you a particular blessing. But let's take a look at what Mary did when she felt overwhelmed, that we can also apply and do even now. The first thing is, I must let go of my need to control things. I must let go of my need to control. A lot of things in a mother's life, in a parent's life, can feel like it's out of control. Things that you would like done a certain way, things that you expect, but it doesn't always go according to your plan. And for some people who feel the need to always be in control, that will drive you crazy. That drives you nuts. You want to be the one in control. And as the kids start growing up more and more, they start getting more independent, the less kind of control that you actually can have on their life. As they begin to make their own decisions, good or not good. And the control just feels like it's slipping away. One thing I've been learning more and more in the past 2 years is that most of my ideas of being in control of things are just illusions. Control is not something that we actually have. We cannot control everything. We cannot control things around us. We cannot control all the people around us. We cannot control the events that happen in our own lives. And if you feel that you must have total control over it, then yes, it will make you overwhelmed. It will drive you to the point of insanity. We must let go of our need to control. After hearing the news from the angel, Mary responds. Look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She doesn't mean she doesn't know a man. It means that she is not married. She is not in a relationship of that sort, a sexual kind of relationship. She's not been. So how can this be, God? You're saying, I'm going to be with child. And then in verse 37, the angel says, "With God, nothing will be impossible." So Mary's first question is, how? But how? I hear what you're saying, but how? Mary didn't say there's absolutely no way, but how? And that's a good question. Given her status, her situation, the fact she was not married, that's a good question, and it's one that's baffled many people throughout the centuries. How on earth did this happen? But still, God didn't give her a detailed explanation even then. The answer was simply, with God, nothing is impossible. God said so. How? God said it would happen. Here's another principle then. Whatever is making you feel overwhelmed is bothering you because you really cannot control it. Whatever's making you feel overwhelmed is because you cannot control it. But also understand that although it's out of your control, it's not out of whose control? It's not out of God's. We don't control things, but praise God, He is in control. He has control. So Mary says, how? God didn't answer all the details, but He just says, with God, nothing is impossible. God is the one in control. God is in control. And Mary understood that. She relaxed. She responded rightly. And in verse 38, she says to the angel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. Some of us are more control freaks than others, I think. You want to be the one in control. The Bible has a verse for you. I like this. We know this. In fact, say it together. Right? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Ready? Trust in the Lord and lean not. This is for the control people out there. God says, trust in the Lord first with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't feel the need that you have to or that you can control everything, things around you. A few biblical facts about God's plan, though, and this is good. First of all, we must realize God's plan for your life is bigger than your plan because God has a bigger perspective. Amen? God's plan is better anyway. You may not be the one in control, but God is in control. God's plan is better and bigger than yours. But number two, God's plan is often more painful. Often. Not always, but often God's plan may involve us going through some pain. Are there biblical examples of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Was that a painful experience? Absolutely. But God had a plan, and it was a good plan. But oftentimes, we just have to recognize sometimes, often, God's plan is more painful than what we would like. But God uses that for a reason. There is a purpose. There is a reason. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes it may not make sense to us, to our minds. It certainly perhaps didn't make sense to Mary at this time. She had things planned out. She had her life planned out. Her and Joseph had a nice place that they were going to have. They had their career path marked out, and they were going to raise a family at a certain time in a certain way. And this changed everything. But nothing in your life happens by accident. Nothing. There's a purpose behind every problem. And our problem, and whatever it may be that comes in your life, doesn't surprise God. He knew everything that was going to happen in your life before it happened. He knew the good things that were going to happen. He knew the bad things that were going to happen. God knows. He's in control. He knows. He doesn't cause the bad. We've been through a series recently on Christian ethics and understanding these things of where does bad come from? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? These are questions that we have had in our mind, in our life. But we understand that God doesn't cause the bad. We understand where the bad comes from now. But he knows about it. And he knows it before it even happens. God's plan is often more painful than ours. And thirdly, God's plan for your life is always better. Always better. You can rest assured that God's plan is going to be better than what you had in mind. God's plan is going to be better. Mary accepted this, and Mary understood that God's plan was going to be better. She didn't understand it all. There might have been some more pain involved in this plan than what she had in mind, but she at least trusted God's plan was better. So first of all, let go of the need to control. Let go of it. The second principle that we see when feeling really overwhelmed, though, is let others help out. I must let others help me out. I must let others help me out. There have been times in the ministry where we've seen people going through some trials and some troubles, some difficulties. And we've seen them go through some big ones. And one of the first things that they will often do is they pull back, they pull away from meaningful relationships, they pull away from their church, they pull away from their small group, their life groups. They just want to try to deal with it on their own. And in so doing, they insulate and isolate themselves from others. They need people in their life, though. You need people, and I need people in my life. What was the first thing Mary did at this time when she could have been so overwhelmed by the changes, by the announcement that was made? What was the first thing she did? Verse 39, now Mary arose in those days and went into a hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah. It says Zacharies. I was afraid that got in there. That's spell check on my part, so I apologize. It's not Zachary. Zacharias. And greeted Elizabeth, okay? Zachary and Elizabeth. So now a lot of you are going to think the story is all about Zachary and Elizabeth from now on. Pastor Ken said so. So Zacharias. Now Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary. But that's not what is so important. She was family, but what is important is what Elizabeth was. What was she? Number one, she was a godly woman. Her husband was a godly man. She was a godly woman. She was married to a priest, Zacharias. She was a very godly woman, and she could help and counsel and pray for Mary at this time in her life. And this was a good thing. She was godly. But secondly, we see she was also a bit of an older woman. She was older, and so as such, she had more life experience, and so she had some wisdom behind her and experience and knowledge and understanding that she could help Mary through this situation as well. So these were two good things that she had that was able to assist and help Mary in this time of being overwhelmed. But the third thing was she was also pregnant herself. If you remember the story, she and Zacharias was desiring a child for a long time, and they had no children. And then God told them that they were also going to have a child in their old age. And so they were beyond the time of normal, you know, childbearing years. And God gave them a child. And so although she was older, she was a godly older woman, she was also experiencing this at the same time that Mary was. In fact, Elizabeth was a little farther along in her pregnancy than Mary at this time. And it was a miracle pregnancy. But here's the simple point. That is, when you're feeling overwhelmed with some things in your life, you need to find an Elizabeth too. Find yourself an Elizabeth. I don't know anybody here named Elizabeth, but that's not the point. You need to find yourself another Elizabeth. When you're overwhelmed, an Elizabeth in your life. What is an Elizabeth? Here's some things to look for. First, a strong believer. Someone who loves the Lord. Someone who's been walking with the Lord for a while. And they're able to help and assist and counsel you. But also, number two, somebody perhaps a bit older than you. There's no rules here. But someone who maybe has some experience and has been there already. And someone who can, help you through their own walk and their own experience. Find that. And by the way, that, you know, just a side note, consider being an Elizabeth to somebody else too. Maybe you're older yourself than many other people. And you can be there to help and encourage some of these younger people. Be an Elizabeth. It doesn't mean you have to be old, just perhaps a bit older than somebody else that could use a hand during times of feeling overwhelmed. Many years ago, I remember Jen and I were leading our youth groups. We were leading the youth here at IBC. And at the time, we had youth. We also had some young adults mixed in there. It was a crazy time, but God blessed it anyway. And one thing we often tried to emphasize to some of the older is don't resent being around some of the younger ones. Don't just think they're so annoying. They're so immature. Why do we have to be around some of these younger ones? I want to be around others my age. But we encourage them to be thinking and considering themselves to be mentors of some of these other ones. I wouldn't tell them, be an Elizabeth. Some of the young guys don't want to hear that. But that's what we were saying. Be an Elizabeth. You're older. You're more mature. You can encourage. You can make a big difference in the life of somebody else. So whatever age you are here in the church, fellas and ladies, you can be an Elizabeth as well. Be an Elizabeth to somebody else. Share what God has taken you through and help another person. But thirdly, so a strong believer, someone perhaps a bit older with some more experience. But thirdly, somebody who's a bit further along than you are in things, a bit further along. We were talking about pregnancy with Elizabeth and Mary, but what we're talking about is spiritually farther along. Doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, you'll never find a perfect mentor, a perfect Elizabeth, but somebody who's just a little further along, and they can help you in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord, in these times when you're feeling overwhelmed. Everybody needs somebody like that. I'm reminded of the writer in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. He writes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Simple, but important. Simple but profound. Two are better than one. When it comes to our spiritual life and walking with the Lord, remember this. This is why you need a good church family. I am convinced every believer must be a part of a church, a local church, a real local church, not just in the generic universal sense, but a real local church with real people that they can connect to, imperfect people. A lot of times people say, well, I don't want to be a part of a church. There's hypocrites there. Of course there's hypocrites there. And if you're honest with yourself, you're probably a hypocrite at times yourself. Because none of us are perfect, and we're all humans, and we all will fail at times, and we all say things that we shouldn't say at times or do something we shouldn't do. But you need to be a part of a real human local church. And even beyond that, I would encourage you, IBC people, members, visitors, people who've been coming perhaps some time, you need to be a part of a smaller group as well, I would go so far to say. If your only experience with the church is this time in corporate worship and we're together, you're missing out on something. And that is relationship building on a smaller group level, where people can actually get to know you more intimately, where you're struggling, going through a hard time. You actually have a time when you can share, I'm going through a hard time, I'm struggling, I'm overwhelmed. And you have a number of Elizabeths in the room that can encourage you and help you and build you up. You need that. We all need that. Don't withdraw. Don't pull away when going through times of being overwhelmed. Pull in. Pull closer. One more thing we see with Mary, when she could have been so overwhelmed, let go of the need to control, let others help out, but I also must let God give me strength. I must let God give me strength. What happens? So oftentimes we're busy trying to solve our problems. We're busy trying to solve our problems. And the Bible is full of promises to believers. Full of promises to believers. And many of these promises are worded in such a way that God actually says, if you let me, if you let me. There are some unconditional promises, but some of these promises are, if you will let me, I will help you. I will help you. One of the amazing things that we read in the story of Mary in Luke 1 is she went along with things in stride, even though the circumstances were just overwhelming. She was able to do that because she was a young woman of the Word. She knew the Word of God. She knew the Bible. She knew the Scriptures. She didn't have the New Testament books like we do, and we're blessed to have even more understanding, but she knew the Old Testament Scriptures well. She knew God's promises, and she claims them. I like what Elizabeth, her elder cousin, says to her in chapter 1, verse 45. When they had met, she responds to her, "Blessed is she who believed." She's referring to Mary at this point. As she's looking at Mary and she realizes that what's in her, the child in her, is somebody special. It's a promise from God. And she says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary was a woman who claimed the Word of God, and she hung on to the promises that God had given to her. She was a woman of the Word. One of the great promises to hold on to when you're overwhelmed, there's one in Isaiah 43, verse 2, that says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. In your own strength, in your own power, on your own, the floods may overwhelm you. On your own power, your own abilities, your own trying to solve everything, the fire may hurt you. But when you are relying on God, He is your strength. He's your provider. He's your protection. He's your shield." In closing, I want to ask, where can you get the kind of strength that Mary had? Mary had strength. Where can you get that kind of strength? In the text, in that text in Luke chapter 1, we see a couple of things that she did. And I just want to highlight these two things, and we'll be done. The first thing is praise God for his goodness. Praise God for his goodness. From Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to verse 56, we see this that's titled Mary's Song of Praise. Mary's Song of Praise to the Lord. She just burst out in this session of praising God for who he is. And it's a beautiful prayer. In verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul is rejoicing. My spirit is rejoicing in God my Savior. Praise the Lord. Try this. When you are overwhelmed, in the middle of overwhelmed feelings, stop and spend time just in praising God. Whether you're walking, whether you're at home alone, or if you're driving, or whatever you are doing, take some time to praise God. Spend time praising him for who he is, what he has done, for all his many blessings. The old song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. It's a simple old song, but it's good advice. Count your blessings, name them, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Do what Mary did and praise God for his goodness. But the second thing is simply think on God's word. Mary thought about God's word. She knew God's word, but she also thought about it, pondered it, meditated on it. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All these things, all the things that God had done, all the things that God had said, that God said he would do, she kept them all here, and she pondered them. She thought on them. She meditated on those things. Why is this important? This book, the Bible helps us sort out what is really important in life. And you need that. The Bible helps you to sort out what is important from what is not so important. One reason that people get very overwhelmed is that we treat everything as if it's of equal importance, and it's not. Let's see, today, or let's say Monday, let's say tomorrow. Today's Mother's Day, it's a little different, but let's say tomorrow, Monday, you got a list of things that you got to do. It's very important. You're feeling overwhelmed. I'm talking to guys here, but you have to go buy some shaving cream, say. You have to get that work project completed. Yes, you have to live for God as well. You got to spend some time with children. You got to watch that TV show when you get home. You got to get the lawn mowed. You got to clean the house. And the list goes on of the things that are in your life that can overwhelm you. And there's so much to do. But as you see the list of everything to do, and if you think about it, you have to realize that there are few things on that list, few things in life that really have to be done. Few things that absolutely must be done. The other things on your list, while we do them, and there are things that we have to get done, but the other things on your list really won't matter that much in a week's time, much less on the scale of eternity. They're not going to matter that much. And so as we meditate and think on God and on God's word, it helps us to keep a perspective of some things. What is important? What is important of life, in life? Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Just in closing, I realize there's no doubt in a place like this morning, there are going to be a number of people that maybe are feeling overwhelmed even now. There are. If it's not you, I'm sure there must be somebody around you. There's people that maybe feel a bit overwhelmed with things. This morning, I urge you and encourage you to do the things that Mary did at a time when she could have been very overwhelmed with some things. Do what Mary did. Let go of the need to be in control of everything. You need to be in the know. You need to control this, control that. You don't have it to begin with. But God's not out of control. We know that. God's not out of control. It's not out of his control. But also, let other people help. Find an Elizabeth. Someone who has, someone who loves the Lord. Someone who perhaps may be a bit more experienced than you. Someone who has gone through things and will be an encouragement and lift you up. Don't pull away. Pull in closer to your church, to people in your church, to a small group, to someone else who is walking with the Lord with you. And then lastly, let God give you strength. And God will strengthen you as you continue, as you walk with him, and as you focus on praising him and for his goodness, and also meditating and thinking on his word and on his promises to you. Would you stand with me, please, for just a moment? In just a moment, I do want to pray a special prayer for our moms that are here with us. And we want to bless you. And we want to ask God to encourage you and strengthen you. Just even during times of feeling overwhelmed. But will you do these things? Would you commit yourself in your heart to these three simple things that Mary did? Let go of the need to feel like you're in control and it's driving you crazy. Let others help. And then let God help. I'd like to give us just a few moments in prayer and dedicate yourself to the Lord. And in just a brief moment, I want to do something special for our moms here. Take a few moments to pray and dedicate yourself to the Lord with these things that we've talked about this morning, and I'll lead us together in just a moment. Father, I want to lift up the people in this room. And yes, that today we are especially thinking of the moms that are here and understanding the pressures that they face, the trials, the difficulties, and at times it may feel overwhelming. But Lord, I pray that they would have the faith and the courage like Mary did, as they let go of their need to feel that they are in control of things. Help us to trust you, understanding that nothing is outside of your control. Even though we cannot control it, it's not beyond yours. Lord, I pray that we would be committed to letting others help us, like another Elizabeth, someone who has some wisdom, maybe some age, someone who's gone through what we are going through. And I pray, Father, that each person would be willing to be an Elizabeth to somebody else. And Lord, I pray that we would be committed anew to letting you help us. There are many promises that you've given to us, but so many are predicated on if we would submit, if we would let you, we would but trust you. So Lord, I pray that we would let you help us through these times when we're feeling overwhelmed by things around us. Lord, bless this place today. And I pray especially for the moms that they would be blessed to be here and recharged and energized and renewed in their faith as they leave this place and go back out into the world and their families as they serve. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them for the work that is ahead. In Jesus' name, please take a seat. And as you do, I'm going to ask, if you are here and you are a mom, we love you. We are thankful for you. But if you're a mom, would you like to please come up to the front and stand with me here at the front? I want to acknowledge you and say a special prayer of blessing on you. Would you come, please? And as they come, could I have a couple of our deacon men, please? Brother Steve, Brother Bong, are you here? Brother Bong, come on up here, please. I know you're not a mom, but we have a small token to remember this day by, a small token that reminds you that we love you, we appreciate you, and we honor our moms. It's something that you will remember every time you have your coffee or your tea at home, and you set your coffee or teacup on top. Would you please hand these out to our moms?
One each.
Yep. These are coasters for your hot drinks or your cold drinks. And so every time you set your cup down, you will remember your church loves you and is behind you and praying for you. Okay. And while they're continuing to hand those out, in our church, we have a couple of other moms that we just want to honor in another extra way as well. And this year, I want to first honor those that help us as leaders, leading and doing the ministry that God has called us to. And so, first, I want to say thanks and honor my wife, Jennifer Young. God, a little extra something to go with your coaster. I can't find everybody. Where's Miss Gina? Miss Gina, God bless you, and we love you, appreciate your faithful work. And Dee, we love you and thank you for your faithfulness in your ministry with your husband too. One more that we just want to make a mention of. We love all you ladies and would like to shower everyone with special attention. But one more that we'd like to draw attention to is one of our, I won't say our oldest mom, but she is one of our oldest members of the church as far as being here a long, long time. Miss Doreen, when did you first come to IBC? What year was that? You and your husband, Glenn? 94? Okay, 93, 94. We got to know her and her husband, Glenn, before he passed away, not long after that, right? Yeah, so Miss Doreen's been alone ever since, but not alone completely. She's been a part of our family here. And so it's just a special thing to have some of these longtime members. Not only that, but last week was her birthday. And I understand it wasn't just any birthday. I'm not saying a thing. But what was it? Was it 90? I didn't say it. I didn't say it. But I understand she loves her plants. And so we got her a lovely plant to remember us by. This is a beautiful colored orchid. So... No, don't cry. God bless you. Here, would you like to hold? Okay. Church, let's give all our moms a big hand, though, and let them know we love them, eh? I'd like to invite everybody, let's stand together, and I'm gonna lift them up in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for all of our moms that are represented here today. And I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, any that may feel overwhelmed or even discouraged, that you would fill them with your joy and with your peace. And I pray that they would turn to you during these times when they may feel overwhelmed. Turn to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that we all would stop feeling the need to be in control, that we all would let others help, and that we would let you help us. Thank you, Father. And I thank you for all of our moms and for our wives that help us as church leaders. And thank you for Miss Doreen as well, and for the testimony she is, for her faithfulness, for the joy that she brings to this church family for this many years. We just thank you for all these special moms. And as a church, we say, amen. Amen. All right, God bless you, ladies. Thank you for coming forward like this. And go ahead and take a seat if you would.